before we actually start this session, I'm going to share Ephesians 1 with you because my hope is that it will really bless you and encourage you. And it will also be something that you can use with your counselees, maybe if they struggle with an eating disorder or self-harm. Self-harm is going to be the topic of today's session, but a lot of these concepts are going to overflow, and you can probably use them equally with both situations. So if you would turn with me to Ephesians 1, and I'm just going to open in prayer. Our Father, as we just bow before you once again today, Lord, we come to you as needy women who need your wisdom and need your help. God, I pray especially for these ladies as they had a very intense day yesterday, might have even brought up some things in their own hearts, and just pray that you would minister to them as this week can be a picture of our own hearts and yet also a challenge to help and serve and love others. So I just pray for them, pray that you would help them get good rest each night and take good care of themselves so that they can go home and be ready to minister well to those in their lives. It's through Christ, your precious Son, that we pray for your glory. Amen. So one thing that I like to share often with my counselees and sometimes with girls when they're in a crisis, we have what's called an orange slip at Vision of Hope, and that means it's not red emergency yet, but it's orange. And so I'm about to sin, leave the program, or do something else terrible. So we have orange slips, and so sometimes I share this with a woman to encourage her when she's struggling with a crisis. Sometimes I just find a point in counseling to share it with her, but I really want to encourage you with it today. So in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15, we see a list of prayer requests that Paul says he is going to pray for the church in Ephesus. So that convicted me to think, I should be praying for my counselees in this way. I should be teaching them how to pray for themselves and pray for others. And again, it's how I would like to pray for all of you today. Ephesians 1, verse 15. To get context at a later time, go ahead and back up and read starting in verse 1, but we're going to start at verse 15. It says, for this reason, so again, you're going to want to read 1 through 14 to find out what the reason was. He says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in all my prayers. Isn't that a beautiful way to talk to your fellow believers? I keep asking, are the next words. So these are prayer requests because he's asking God. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. We ourselves do not want to gain wisdom and revelation to puff up ourselves. We want wisdom and revelation so that we grow in relationship with Christ and we fall more and more in love with him. So I pray for that for you ladies this morning, and I pray that you help lead your counselees in that wisdom of Christ. Verse 18, I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Ooh, we're talking eternal focus, right? And this you can cross-reference back to 2 Corinthians 4:17. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So that could be a whole nother counseling session right there, connecting Ephesians 1 and 2 Corinthians 4. But our hearts are enlightened to the hope. Where does our hope lie? Does it lie in the here and now? Or does it lie in the eternity with Christ, worshiping him and being with him, united with him forever in eternity? The hope of the glorious inheritance in the saints. And then he goes on in verse 19, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Wow. What in the world? Incomparably great power. Just gnaw on that. Incomparably great power. What does that mean? Well, what can you think of on the earth that is probably the most powerful thing that you've ever witnessed or understood, maybe a hurricane or fire, a forest fire, a tornado. Paul tells us that isn't even worth comparing to the power that we have in us. Now, how do you think that can encourage your counselee when she's struggling with her battle against her sin, especially habitual sin? Because we get tired, we get weary of fighting our sin, and we forget that we have incomparably great power for us who believe. He says this power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. So those prayer requests help us today because we need wisdom. We need to have hope. We need to remember the power that resides in us through Christ as believers. So I mentioned that yesterday. I don't know if you remember that. I just snuck it kind of in there. Great portion of scripture to really encourage a counselee who may be feeling like she's falling into temptation or running to it. Sometimes we run to it. Sometimes it appears before us. Like the temptation with Sydney, that she didn't run to her temptation. She ran into it at the mall, right? And then it stirred up in her things that she then ran to. So a great way to encourage your ladies. Today we're going to talk about Debbie and Debbie's struggle with self-harm. So I'm going to read your case study. Feel free to follow along in the notes. So Debbie is a 24-year-old seeking counsel for self-harm. She came from a home where everyone regularly attended church and she was homeschooled. Debbie has practiced non-suicidal self-harm by first experimenting with rubbing an eraser on her arm until it became red and inflamed. She did this several months until she began to self-harm with a staple. She used the staple to draw a small amount of blood and then decided she wanted to use a shaver instead. She found this to be the most satisfying method and has been cutting with a shaver ever since. And so this has been approximately 3 years. Debbie wrote on the application that cutting gave her a sense of comfort. If this was information that you had before you, before the session, you would want to circle that word because she has already revealed to you something that's going on in her heart. She is seeking, she is worshiping comfort. In addition, Debbie has indicated that she was sexually assaulted after a football game 4 years ago. Underline that. She met a group of girls who wanted to go to a party with some boys they had met at the game. Debbie went to the party even though she didn't want to. She didn't want her friends to get mad at her, so she went along. You would circle that, what's going on in her heart there. While at the party, Debbie decided she would only drink Sprite because she didn't want to get in trouble for drinking underage. There was a guy there who said he completely respected her decision not to drink, so he would, quote, take care of her. And he got the Sprite for her. Debbie didn't realize that he was spiking her drink with Rohypnol or some other type of tranquilizer. She doesn't remember the guy's name or a description of what he looks like. She remembers waking up on a couch and experiencing symptoms of being raped. She had never been sexually active, and she was ashamed, underline that, and terrified, underline that. She vowed she would never tell anyone. And now she's telling you. Probably you're the only person who knows. What are some things you would want to consider as you begin counseling with Debbie? She's young. She's 24 years old. And this happened when? When she was in high school 4 years ago, or college. But it happened 4 years ago. So she's been carrying this burden alone for 4 years. So sometimes when we start working with a person, what's screaming at us is she's like torturing herself with a razor blade, with a shaver. She's cutting herself. She's bleeding. And I just want to share with you, that should not be your priority. You have